Would you take the Word of God and turn with me, please, in the Old Testament to the book of Genesis? In the book of Genesis to the 32nd chapter in this book in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 32. And we'll begin reading with verse 24 in just a moment in Genesis chapter 32. If you had to choose a favorite character in the Bible, I don't think you'd choose the character about whom I speak. But there's a great lesson to be learned from this man. One, I believe, that must be learned if we want God's blessing on our lives. I'm certainly not going to ask you to raise your hands because I can predict already that every hand would be raised. But if I did ask, do you want God's blessing on your life? I believe every hand would be raised. Every hand would be raised. And that's what we find here. The man we see is the man Jacob, the son of Isaac. Jacob, of whom his sons make up the tribes of the nation of Israel. And we find him with God dealing with him in a most wonderful way in chapter 32 of this first book in the Bible. Begin with verse 24. The Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, or Peniel. 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." I'd like to underline an expression, please, found in the form of a question in the 27th verse of this 32nd chapter. The question is, what is thy name? What is thy name? Many of us in this meeting, at this moment, need a name change. If you leave here without a name change, you've left here without what God wanted you to have. Jacob got a name change. He came to this particular part of the country at Jabbok, and he met God face to face. He had been to Bethel and become a believer. He comes to Jabbok and becomes a broken man. And God changes his name. I want you to turn back with me in your Bible to where Jacob steals his brother's birthright by trickery. In the 27th chapter of Genesis, Isaac was old, the Bible says, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son." And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and bread and which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau." His father said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Esau." He was not Esau, he was Jacob. As I've read the story, you understand, of course, how his mother got involved in this thing and tricked his daddy so that Jacob got the blessing that Esau was to get, and Isaac was deceived by his own son. Now, because of all of this, Esau becomes so outraged that Jacob is advised to leave, and he does leave. He was his mother's favorite. I think if you search the Bible, you'll find that she said goodbye to him, not to see him again. He really fled for his life in his own thinking. He went to his uncle Laban, and he and Laban battled it out. Jacob makes his way on that journey to Bethel, where he has this dream of the ladder from heaven. Bethel, the house of God. Later he comes back to Bethel. He comes to Bethel and it's called El Bethel, the God of the house of God. But 20 years transpire. 20 years ago, when we come to chapter 32, Jacob tricked his brother. Now he spent these 20 years, he leaves with two wives, two handmaids. Laban has been angered with him. Laban is behind him, Esau is in front of him. His brother Esau is coming with 400 men. And that's where we find the story. And Jacob prays in chapter 32. The Bible says in verse 6, "And the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Now the last word we heard about Esau concerning Jacob was, he said, "After the days of mourning are in for my father, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to end his life." And the Bible goes on to tell us, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau, my brother, meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he's behind us. And so command he in the second and the third and all that followed the droves, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and set them over the brook and sent over that he had. And you might want to write in your Bible beyond verse 23, all that he had. Because you come to verse 24 and the Bible says he'd be left alone. There's nothing now left. Would you look this way? There's nothing left but Jacob. Everything's gone. Just Jacob alone now. All of my life I've heard about great people who serve God, who give God all their lives, but I've met very few of them. All of my life as a Christian I've heard about people who are sold out to the Lord, but I've seen very few of them. For the most part, if not for all part, I've seen men who just struggle day after day, trying to be what God wants them to be, seeking the victory that they need in their life, making the journey as best they can, asking God by faith, through one valley over a mountain, through another valley over a mountain, and round through the valley and over another mountain, struggle after struggle. That's really the way life is. Because man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. But in all of this journey, God seeks to work in our lives to make us different people. Not perfect yet, but people he can bless. People he can bless. Now, it'd be impossible for me to cover all of Jacob's life. I certainly don't want to try to do that. But I want to get on this question. What is thy name? His daddy said, what is your name? He said, I'm Esau. Now, Esau was his brother, and Esau was a man of the earth, earthly, worldly. The only thing he was concerned about were the things of this earth. Jacob's name meant supplanter or heel grabber or trickster or cheat. And he finally comes to a place here where he says, my name is Jacob. He's made the journey from saying, I am Esau, demonstrating his trickery, his cheating, his heel grabbing, his planning, his scheming, his trying to do it himself. For 20 years now, he comes now to the place where he says, I am Jacob. I'm a heel-grabbing, deceiving cheat. And when he finally says it, God says, I've been waiting for this. Now I'm going to change your name. Your name now is going to be Israel. You're a prince with God. Not a perfect person with God, but a prince with God. I'm saying all of us need to make the journey as believers, not unsaved people, as believers. We know for sure that we trusted Christ as Savior, but we need to make this journey of deceiving and cheating and heel grabbing and scheming and trying to get our own blessing and make our own way and make it happen. Do we finally come to the place when God says, what is your name? And we are willing to admit and say, Lord, my name is cheat, heel grabber, deceiver, just sinner. Dear God in heaven, you know who I am. You know who I am. You know my name. And when we come to that place, God will do something in our lives that all of us need. And we can't get any other way. Notice quickly, the man had a burden. He's on his way from Laban. He's going somewhere. He's not just wandering, though it seems like he's wandering. It takes him a while to get there. As a matter of fact, we expect him to get there more quickly, even after this 32nd chapter. But he's really going back to Bethel. He's going back to God. He knows that's where he needs to be. And right in the path is his brother Esau. Let me ask you a question. Do you know you need to go back to God? Do you know that's the fount of blessing? You remember when you became a believer? When you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You came to the end of yourself and you confessed to God that you were a sinner. And you're asking by faith, forgive your sin and receive Him as your Savior. Do you remember all the dreams and ideas you had about the Christian life and how smooth you thought it was going to be, how quickly you thought it'd all work out, and how soon you'd become the person you thought you should be, ought to be, others expect you to be, and you still haven't gotten there? You ought to have a burden to get back to Bethel. And when you get back to Bethel, you'll find what Jacob found. It's not just the house of God. You'll find the God of the house of God. He was a man with a burden. Now on his way working back, he hears his brothers coming. And he remembers his brother's anger. And so he's scheming, he's planning, he's thinking, what can I do? What can I do? And he divides what he has. And he sends so much of it out, and then there's a space, and so much of it out, and then there's a space. Until finally he separates his wife and his children. Remember that there's six sons to be born, or six sons who were born from Leah, and two from his beloved Rachel. Only Joseph is now with him in this story. Benjamin will come later. And Rachel will die, giving birth to Benjamin. So 6 and 2 is 8, and the other sons will come from the handmaids. He sends them all out. And he's left alone. He's left alone. So that leads us to the second thing about the man. He is broken. He is broken. I thought that I could be used of God without being broken. As a matter of fact, I asked God to use me without being broken. It just doesn't work that way. When I was just a young preacher, I heard a man preaching, a well-known man, a man at that time who was pastor of the largest Baptist church in the world. And he gave illustrations from history about men who were mightily used of God. And every one of them, he had a story to tell. With every one of them, he had a story to tell about how God broke that man. 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 And then he said, and this is how God broke me. And he told his story. And it was his own family. He raised a grandson without a father. The grandson had no father. His daughter had a child without a husband. And he elaborated enough in the story to share his burden. And then following him was a man who came and preached about something I'm sure was that was wonderful, but I don't remember a single word of his sermon. Not a word of his sermon, but I remember almost word for word his remarks before he preached, because he was weeping and he said, "Pray for me. My son is a drug addict. And I just followed him through the streets of Memphis shortly before coming here. And finally I found him and I said, 'Son, run a knife through my heart and kill me quickly, because I'd rather die quickly than to die by degrees the way you're putting me to death and putting your mother to death.'" And he said, "Gentlemen, pray for me. Pray for me." What he went on to preach, I don't remember. But I do remember sitting in the balcony listening to those men and saying, when I heard them, "Lord, I want you to do something with my life, but I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that." I wish I could tell you. Honestly, I do. I wish I could tell you that you could have what God wants you to have without going through any of that. But I'd be lying to you. But I can tell you this. Whatever God allows you to go through, He can only give you grace. He gives you grace that gives victory through it all. Let me show you a precious verse. If you'd like to turn to it in 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 4, "The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength." Isn't that a tremendous verse? "The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength." Let's turn again to Isaiah chapter 40. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 28th verse, the Bible says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power," verse 29 says of chapter 40 in Isaiah, "he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." The reason so many of us are so weak is because we are so strong in our own eyes. And until we recognize our weakness, and we're never going to get hold of our weaknesses until God breaks us, we'll never have the strength of the Lord. So here's a man that is going to be the father of the sons, as we refer to the sons of Israel. And from those sons will come the mighty nation of Israel, to whom and through whom God will bless the world. He's a heel-grabbing cheat. And he has to be broken. And the Bible says he is left all alone. All alone. And let's read on. Did you ever get all alone? Thank God for your family and friends, but did you ever get all alone? Some of you are trying to figure it all out right now. You think, you know, I don't know why my family doesn't stand with me, or I don't know why things aren't working out the way I want them to work out. You know why? Because God wants to mean more to you than He presently means to you. And that's about the only way He can get it to work with us. Well, I'm not going to pretend to you that I know all the ways of the Lord, because His thoughts are so high. Higher than my thoughts. His ways so far above our ways. He's taught us that in His Word, hasn't He? But he got Jacob alone. Jacob really didn't know. He really didn't know at this point in time. He was going to be there all night and he would not know what happened to his wives. He would not know what happened to his children. He would not know what happened to his servants. All he knew was what God was doing with him. And he made the journey. Twice his name is asked. What is your name? Liar, cheat, says Esau. But then here God says, what is your name? And he says, Lord, I'm a liar and a cheat and a schemer and a heel grabber. The Bible says in Jacob, verse 24, was left alone and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, Jacob's going to testify that this is the pre-incarnate Christ. He's going to say that he wrestled with God and saw God face to face. Let me ask you a question. Is this any kind of a match? I mean, what's it take for God to pin the man? What kind of match is this? Do you know a lot of times somebody says, well, I've been fighting the devil, you know. Man, I've been battling the world and I'm having such trouble with the flesh. Well, you're not battling the world, the flesh and the devil many times, and neither am I. We're fighting with God and what God wants us to do and what God wants us to be. And by the way, the Lord can pin us any time He desires. He can put our shoulders to the mat any moment. But He chooses to do it this way. He doesn't pin us until He is able to pin our will. And so they're wrestling. It's a one-sided match. And the Bible says the day is breaking, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now, well, let me read this again. Jacob is wrestling God till the break of the day, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's God, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He touched him. For the rest of his life, he's going to limp. As a matter of fact, at the breaking of the day, he's going to find a tremendous, tremendous surprise. He is now a broken man. He's altered. He will never be the same. Never. His cattle, his servants, his children, his loved ones, he hasn't seen them. But as the sun rises, he goes into the camp. And they rush to him. And he says to them, when they say, what's happened? He said, I want you to know something. I'll never walk the same way again as long as I live. I'll never be the same man again. God has broken me. I'm not going to be perfect. But I'll never walk the same way again. Never again. Just give it over to deceiving in my way and cheating and heel grabbing and making it happen. I want you to know, I'll never walk this way again. Never, never, never walk that way again. Never. Changed man, changed name. Who are you? Jacob. He admitted who he was. He was burdened to get back to Bethel. He was broken at Jabbok. He was blessed by the Lord. Look what the Bible says. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. All Jacob has the strength to do now is to cling, not to wrestle. Have you ever been there? Hudson Taylor said, sometimes I am too weak to read the Bible. I am too weak and too weary to pray, the great missionary to inland China said. All I can do is collapse in the lap of Jesus and wait till He sustains me. And he says, Lord, bless me. Bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. How had he prevailed? Through brokenness? Through weakness? How was he trying to prevail? By trickery? By cheating? By heel grabbing? By his own ingenuity? By playing favorites? How does he prevail now? Through brokenness? God blesses him. Listen, God doesn't mean for you to quit when you're broken. He means for you to begin for Him when you're broken. And the Bible says, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. He blessed him. There's no need for this wrestler to give him his name. He knows who blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place. There's a Peniel movement, an old, old movement, meeting with God. I have no comment to make on the movement. But in some places, this word is referred to Peniel or Peniel. But he says, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I'm a changed man. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want for your life. Let me ask you, what is your name? Let me give you this little footnote. So he's got to meet his brother. And chapter 33 tells us of his meeting with Esau. And when they meet, let me just read a little of it to you. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. Now remember what he'd been thinking. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. You can tell who he loves. That Joseph. There's nobody like that Joseph to Jacob. I'm thankful he got to spend the last 17 years of his life with him down in Egypt. 140 when he went, he was 147 if I'm not mistaken when he died. Last 17 years at least he got to spend with old Joseph and meet his grandkids, Ephraim and Manasseh. Boy, he loved that Joseph. It won't be long before Deborah's dead. That's his mother's nurse. And no doubt he loved her so much. It won't be long before Isaac is dead. He's trying to get home before his daddy dies. And it won't be long before his beloved Rachel is dead. And he buries at Bethlehem. Well, anyway. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And he's coming and bowing and bowing and bowing and bowing and bowing 7 times. And he comes near his brother. And Esau ran to meet him. Look, I'm telling you, if God can't change things. And embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And Jacob answers, these are the children which God hath graciously given to thy servants. Jacob says, you see all these things I want to give you? And Esau says, verse 9, I have enough, my brother. Now think about that. He stole his brother's blessing and he got his brother's birthright and stole his blessing. And now God has worked so miraculously that Esau says, that's not necessary. I have enough. 20 years ago, I wanted to kill you. But I have enough. Let me ask you, who are you? What is your name? 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 I ask myself, what is my name? What is your name? Who art thou? What is thy name? Are you willing to come to God and say, My name is cheater and trickster and conniver and heel grabber and try to make it happen, man. I'm willing to admit it, Lord. When you come that way, God says, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your name. And as a broken person, I'm going to bless you and use you in a way you never dreamed. And I believe that God will even change the hearts of others around you. And some that you thought might stone you will be willing to fall on your neck and kiss you. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior. Let's bow in prayer, may we?